Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Submitted for your approval, an entire network of television where people are watching television, who in turn are being watched while they watch television. Picture, if you will, one of these programs focused on two people watching the premiere of the new version of a classic television series risen again thanks to Jordan Peele. It's the kind of tale that can only be found in one place. The Twilight Zone.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone After Show. You know, the Second Amendment says a well-regulated... No, just kidding. I'm Christian Blatt, joined by... Raven, say hello to the people.
Hello, people. Welcome to the Twilight Zone.
Raven French, is that... I only know because I looked for you on Twitter. This is not the first time we're meeting, but we met about an hour ago sitting down to watch this premiere of the Twilight Zone. So before we dive into it, I just wanted to take a moment and ask you about your background with... any of the earlier seasons of the show and just a familiarity with the Twilight Zone in general before we talk about this show.
Earlier episodes, as much as I can remember, is watching them with my mother.
The old black and white ones?
Yes. Yeah. So it feels a little nostalgic. I remember as a kid it being a little creepy, but it was something we cuddled up to and enjoyed.
Right. And it was never like so scary for kids because, you know, it's like broadcast television in the early 60s. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really that scary. It was like I used to watch the original Star Trek with my mom. It wasn't really that bad for kids, you know, even when it was violent. I'm using air quotes. I was always a huge fan of the original black and white version. And throughout the course of this show, I'll probably sprinkle in some of what my favorite episodes are. And if you haven't seen them, they'll give you an opportunity, but we have a very strong recommendation before we do our next episode for episode 2, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's start off talking about the comedian. Just some overall thoughts, and then we'll break down the specifics, Raven.
Overall thoughts. Well, the comedian specifically is a fear for me, comedy shows, so it touches on a personal fear. I don't really attend comedy shows.
Really?
Being singled out is a fear of mine.
You know, if you sit like towards the back, you're not getting singled out. It's when you sit in the front row, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's possible that it's going to happen. You know, there are some comedians, you know, that are looking for people to, you know, to pick out. You know, when I went to see Don Rickles and I went with my Chinese wife, yeah, we sat like in the middle, almost towards the back, because I didn't need to sit in the front row. You know, we could have written his jokes for him, but exactly. It's interesting that you don't want to be a part of it.
No.
I, on the other hand, this is going way back, you know, more than 15 years ago, I tried my hand at stand up, and it was kind of fun to stand on stage and tell jokes, but then there was the rest of the day that made it not fun. So the anxiety for me watching it is pretty much the reversal of what it was for you. You're nervous about standing on the crowd, and I'm like, oh my God, I hated standing on that stage. I liked like telling the jokes if people laughed, but there was never a guarantee. Maybe I should have been funnier.
I feel like it has to be one of the hardest things ever to stand on a stage and not know the reaction that you're going to get when you're supposed to be funny.
Yes, exactly. You're like, wait, they didn't laugh at that, so how do I know if they're going to laugh at the next thing,
exactly.
The next thing. What I wouldn't do when I would do stand-up is I wouldn't preach to people about the Second Amendment.
And, bad idea.
I thought that that was a great starting point. And obviously, Kumail Nanjiani from Silicon Valley is very funny in his own right. He's funny on that show. He's funny in The Big Sick. I actually have never seen him perform stand-up, but, you know, that's how he got started. So I'm going to assume that it was a very comfortable environment for him. And I just love this idea that he didn't even come, he didn't even like border on funny. It's not like, oh, he's almost funny. Wearing like corny dad jokes. No, he's just, he's like preaching to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a really interesting conceit for the concept for this first episode. Now, as a lot of you probably know, there were two episodes that were both posted on CBS All Access tonight. And there are people who were very critical of this one. I feel like, I haven't seen the second one yet, and we'll talk about that at the end, and we'll really cover it next week. But I feel like this was just a classic Twilight Zone story. You know, it's just the way it starts, the way it builds, and the way that everything about it, beginning, that, middle, and end.
Too.
I'm like, it checked all the boxes for what I want from the Twilight Zone. And I thought Jordan Peele was great, just, doing a far better Rod Serling impression than I did at the top of the show.
But, you're great.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you. All you're right, welcome. You can stay. No. but I thought, it was a great sort of creepy idea, you know, and I was very excited to see Tracy Morgan because I wasn't expecting him, and there he was, and he played a comedian named J.C. Wheeler in this, and just the idea that, you know, what I love about the Twilight Zone is you could feel really strongly like, oh, well, he's the devil. And maybe not, though. You know, he's fate. Maybe he's God, you know, maybe he's like an Old Testament God, you know, who's like, just likes to play tricks and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And that's what I love about a show like this, because you're not hit over the head where, you know, he's got the beard and the red horns and everything. Mm-hmm. You're just like, I don't
he
know.
He felt a little devilish in the end.
A little devilish, yeah. Definitely in the end.
Voice change and everything.
Well, especially when he you know, moves on to the next target.
As it intensifies.
Yeah. But, I thought it was really well done. I thought, the casting was great. And I thought it was a good story. So now you have a lot of notes there. What were some of the things that stood out to you before we go through the episode the way that they had it heightened, which I thought that they did an excellent job with?
Yes. Well, talent. I want to shout out Dee Dee. I don't know who she actually is. I'm not the other comedian that he was up against in
yes.
the end. Phenomenal. I really thought she did. She killed her part and her comedy and her kind of sass and everything. The way she played that character was really good. I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed her and want to see more of her. Whoever she is, casting directors, let's get her out on TV. And you can come here too as well. Tracy Morgan, bringing him up. He was so, the initial scene with him, he was so very ominous. When I wrote it down because he was like, "Are you happy with your life?
Yeah,
your career? Don't you want it all?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, Tracy, I do." I thought that was super intense. I really found myself in moments of contemplating my own life. So I don't know. I feel like I'm in for a ride with this.
That actress who played Dee Dee Scott, her name is Dyara Kilpatrick. I have not seen her before either, but I actually had the thought that she was great. To me, I would say that Kamal was the recognizable fit. Well, obviously Tracy mm-hmm. Morgan, but those were the people I recognized. I mm-hmm. thought that everyone was well cast. You know,
yeah.
There was the overweight male comedian. You know, it's like, yeah, any long night of comedy is going to have that guy performing, you know. The sleazy club owner. You're like, yeah, of course that's Eddie.
Right.
No apostrophes. And I thought that Devin, his girlfriend's nephew, I thought he was
yes.
he was great. So, you know, it's hit or miss with kid actors. You don't always know what you're going to get. But I thought it was really funny. And they made sure that we knew how much he cared about him. So I thought... Mm-hmm. I thought that was nice. And by the way, one of Dr. Kilpatrick's credits is The Last OG, which is a TBS series starring Tracy Morgan. So it all comes together. Anyway, so you like the casting?
The casting. What else do I have here? I feel like the general question for the show is, what would you do for your career? Like, where's the line? When do you cross over? Do you cross over? Do you have boundaries? I feel like, especially in artistry, because it could be a sleazy industry. what will you do? What won't you do?
Right. And I think that, you know, as we go through, as Samir goes through, you know, he's trying to figure out, you know, I mean, let's go through it. When he starts off, he gets this, you know, this concept that J.C. Wheeler tells him. It's like, well, once it's out there, it's gone. And then he realizes it when he does a bit about his dog, Cat, which is the only thing that he says that's really like a joke. Right. The whole episode is the fact that his dog's name is Cat. It's reminiscent of the comedian Stephen Wright had a joke that he had a dog named Stay. So he would say, come here, Stay. Come here, Stay. So it's a little reminiscent of that. But he goes home. His girlfriend's like, we don't have a dog. This game's not funny.
Right.
And he's putting up the missing posters. And Dev and his nephew's like, I don't know. I don't know who this dog is, but, you know, I thought you were funny. Which right there is a little suspect. That the kid was funny, though, because he's like, I want to be a stand-up comedian like you, you know, except funny.
Right.
Dee Dee liked it. You know, it was all this great banter. So I thought it was interesting.
Did you already know when he went home and there was no dog or cat, you know?
There was no dog named Cat? Yeah. Yes. Like, it is definitely confusing.
Did you already know, or were you just like, okay, let's see what's going on here? Did you already suspect?
When he started talking about his dog, I was like, okay, so his dog's going to be gone. But I wasn't 100% convinced. And I was just like, is this going to be a whole episode about how his dog's gone now?
Right.
Because it's like, look, I get it. You know, people love their pets. But you're going to try and get an hour's worth out of drama out of like, oh, no, I joked my dog out of existence. So I thought that they did a really nice job of escalating, you know, that he accidentally gets rid of his girlfriend's nephew, which they make the distinction that it's not his nephew, which I guess makes him feel a little better.
Right.
You know, but, you know, his girlfriend's like, that's not funny that my sister can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So what were your thoughts when he's looking for the dog? Did you think, uh-oh, the dog's gone, or were you still kind of in a wait-and-see mode?
I was in a wait-and-see mode. I didn't know if he just was in some alternate universe situation or if the dog had been offed. I didn't know yet.
Right, yeah, some reality where the dog was had never existed. And that's kind of the beauty of the Twilight Zone, you know? It is your reality, but it continually changes, you know? Sometimes it's like a little snap, and then it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And
because initially I thought, I was like, okay, we're about to have a whole show on gun control issues? that's what I thought because of his opening joke. Like,
yeah, okay. No, I think the opening joke was to make sure that we understood that he wasn't actually funny. You know, the idea that like, no, comedy needs to be important. But it's like, yeah, but everybody else is getting laughs. Exactly. Thank you, Steve. We have a lot more to talk about. But before we do that, I know Raven has a very important message for us.
I do. Hello, guys. Before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit the thumbs up button. Go ahead. Do it. Thank you. And subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. We love those. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us. And we truly appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. Don't forget, tell your friends and keep enjoying all of the shows.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, back to The Comedian, episode 1 in season 1 of the new Twilight Zone. The CBS All Access Jordan Peele Twilight Zone. You know, you have to kind of go through the differences. Mm-hmm. Because there's the original Twilight Zone, there's the 80s Twilight Zone, and then there's the UPN Twilight Zone with Forest Whitaker, which most people do forget about.
I totally forgot.
But it did have 44 episodes, so they had basically 2 seasons worth. And, of course, there's the movie, which we'll give a shout-out to the movie again at the end of the show, teasing it all forward. But
yes.
Once Samir realizes what he's able to do by talking about people making comedy out of you know, it's not even really comedy. He's getting laughs just for talking about people.
Right.
He decides to go for Joe Donner, who is the heavy set comedian. And they even established earlier that he's a drunk driver and he killed two people. And as Samir says, one of them was a baby. Gets a big laugh for that somehow. I guess in the Twilight Zone, and you know, it's always a it's always a hot night in the Twilight Zone when you're doing comedy. So he doesn't feel so bad about like, look, I saved two people's lives. That's when he realizes, like, look what I can do.
The justification. Yeah, that's where it starts.
I think a lot of times comedians or performers will get wrapped up in the idea of what I'm doing is important. I can really impact lives. No, you impact lives in the way where you're diversion, you're entertaining. But he really could impact lives. Mm-hmm. He could make things better until he starts to make things worse. But first, he goes through Jamie from high school, who is someone who killed his fiance. Coach Keller, where there's a scandal involving children. I actually took down one of the quotes of what he says. So he says, the more I open up on stage, the more I change the world. And in the real world, if you heard a stand-up comedian say that, on stage or off, you'd be like, what a jerk.
Right.
You know, what is so full of himself. What did you think about how Kumail started to – how the – you know, Samir is the character, but how he portrayed sort of this realization of like – really this power that he has, the fact that he's like, I can do this, let me try and make the world a better place, I guess.
I think it was seamless. I can't really say if he was justifying his actions or if it was really just kind of a man on a rampage and ego.
Well, I think it gets to that point at the end, especially when they're auditioning for the Gower Hour, which, come on, you could have come up with a better name. It's just like you're trying to impress us.
This
is like the coolest comedy show. It's called the Gower Hour or the Tower
with
of Gower.
Candy.
Yeah. Candy Gower. Anyway, I'm like, that's somebody's friend. That's like somebody's college roommate. Like, I got you into the show. So I thought that it was interesting, though, because he tried to do a couple things like, hey, that president sure is a fascist. And then that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I met a murderer on the bus. That also didn't work. So there actually has to be some kind of connection. You have to, I guess, know them. You have to use their – I thought you had to use their full name. But then we saw a little later, you know, with the hecklers that he actually didn't need to.
Yes.
So I thought it was really interesting. And he's on a good clip of making the world a better place. But then when we saw his girlfriend's mentor, David Kendall, a little earlier in the show, I was like, well, he's obviously going to get rid of that guy. Because at that point, we knew what he could do.
Right.
So, Raven, were you convinced that David Kendall? Yeah, David Kendall was not long for this world when you first met him?
When I first
met him. Yeah, or did you just think he's just some guy?
No. I felt like if you're going to...
Not yet. Because in the Twilight Zone, right. Nobody's just some guy.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
And I feel like it has to mean something, what the audience found funny versus what they didn't. Like when something actually means something in the world, something we should care about, it's like... But then when he's up there expressing himself and kind of feeling hurt toward the end, they're just... dying laughing. And to me,
you've got people like keeling over, like,
falling out of their seats. And then I feel like it's another thing for artists when you really want to create because you love creating, because you have a purpose or you feel you have a purpose or something specific to say. But when that isn't translating, what do? Do you keep trying to push what you felt was your purpose or you go for the money?
I mean, I go for the money, but I understand that, you know, look, you got to find the balance of going for the money and doing some right in the world, you know, and Samir really focused more on, you know, he's like, well, I did some good work. I made the world better. Now I'm going to make my life better and get rid of the creepy older mentor David Kandel, except, of course, whoops, he actually really helped her and helped her become a great lawyer. And by making him never exist, she's a waitress, and this is in no way to demean people who are in the service industry. It's just what their life was. Mm-hmm. It changes like that. And I thought there was sort of this great moment of, like, terror on his face because mm-hmm. he goes into their apartment and he's like, oh, no, we still live in the same awesome building, but we now have lower middle class furnishings.
Right.
You know, I thought it was like – it was interesting that it's not like, you know, they live in – in a hovel. They're not like, they're not, it's not like they're in like Tiny Tim's house from A Christmas Carol. You know, it's like, it's still a pretty nice apartment. Right. It just doesn't have as good a stuff in it, you know? So it's like, your life's still okay. You just really messed it up. So I think that's when things start to really unravel. And I also thought that, you know, she has some really good points about, and, like, she doesn't even know this ability that he has.
Right.
At no point does she understand what it is. Even later in the episode when she finds his
– hit list.
His notebook. She's just like, we're all just material to you. And, yeah, that's really what it is. Everybody's just material to him. And this thought that he has is maybe this is how it goes. To get something, you give something up. Clearly, it's like if you want to get to this point, and he hasn't even gotten all the way to the Gower Hour yet, but the auditioning for the Gower Hour. By the way, if the Gower Hour wants to see my reel, I'll certainly send it. Right. I can demean the Gower Hour all I want, but I would love an opportunity to be on the Gower Hour. Yeah, I'm here. You can find me. I'll give you my social media at the end of the episode. You'll know where I am. What were some of the other things as all of this is unfolding? Because I never want to see detailed handwritten notes go to waste.
Let's see. What do I have?
It's all right. Well, we can weave it in and out if anything jumps out for you.
I thought the is comedy art. I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh yeah, that was actually that guy David. Yeah, yeah. Is comedy art, and the answer is sometimes, and other times it's not. And you know, anything that tries to be art, sometimes, you know, if you're just unlucky, you know, if you just accidentally make something and people consider it art, great, you expressed right. yourself creatively. But if you're like, I'm going to set out and make art. You know, I remember when I was in high school, this kid wrote a play, this kid that I didn't like. I won't say his name. Before it went on, he came out, and at the end of it, he said, I hope it changes your life. And I was like, oh, man, I already hated you. And now you think your play, which was garbage, is going to change someone's life. But it only changed my life in the way that it made me, you know, dislike this guy even more, to the extent that, you know, I have an unreplied to Facebook request from him 25 years later. But anyway, it says more about me. Boy, if I had Samir's power, maybe I would mention his name.
Yes,
on stage.
He'd be on the list.
No, I would hope not. I would hope not. I'd make a lot of jokes about, you know, people who deserve to be disappeared. But really, that's the point. Who are you, as in Samir, to decide who you should and shouldn't do
right,
this with?
Right, who really deserves that?
And on some level, the hedge fund guys who are heckling him, well, they're jerks. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to talk about them. And that was the moment where I'm like, okay, so this ability works however it wants to. And again, mm-hmm. that's a very Twilight Zone thing. Mm-hmm. It just when you think you understand what the rules are, the rules can change. So he just mentions, I remember one of their names was Gabe and Will, I think. He doesn't even have to say their last names. Doesn't have to say, he doesn't have to say, they even mentioned like where they worked, I think. But he just had to say the hedge fund guys. I think that he's not proud of doing it, but he's still glad. Right. Did you get that sense that like he was glad to be rid of the hecklers? But I don't think he felt good about himself for doing it. He was just relieved that they weren't there anymore.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, to have someone there booing you, which I'm sure is a huge fear for a comedian. I love those.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I would want to get rid of them.
Speaking of high school, I emceed a talent show once that did not go well. So I'm going to break out into
hives. Some more people on the hit list.
Yeah, if I tell more of that story, you'll see me in HD break out into hives. I thought that this is why, to me, this is such a Twilight Zone story. Because you start with sort of the simple premise. You're not good at something. Do you want to be better at it? Okay. But you know there's a price, right? Mm-hmm. And the price sometimes doesn't feel so bad. But then you do it enough and it takes its toll. And I did think that the character of Dee Dee was great because we see her later in the episode. And she's just like, I don't know how you did it. But you really are that good. Because I actually didn't expect that to be where it was going. You know, I thought she was going to say, I'm so much better than you. And she was going to piss him off. Mm-hmm. And then he was going to mention her name. But he actually stopped himself. He almost said her name.
He almost had a conscience. Give it up for Dee.
Yeah. So what did you think of that dynamic later in the episode? And the fact that he stopped himself from saying her name.
He stopped himself, but... Again, once you get that ball rolling and
feel
whatever that fame or whatever that validation, when you're so insecure what that means to you, I thought that was probably not the saddest moment because I thought the end was pretty sad. The rampage and the people laughing. But the moment of real conscious, am I going to off her?
And she says, you know, she mouths like, do it. She doesn't know what she's telling him to do. So he's like, all right, give it up for Dee Dee Scott, everybody. We'll keep it going for the incredible Dee Dee Scott. That's actually what he said. Mm-hmm. There's also a great line that I have a little behind the scenes knowledge of. He says, I wanted to be the next Chris Rock, not evil David Copperfield. Now, the reason why he says David Copperfield, whom most of us know is a magician, not a comedian, but apparently David Copperfield owns the original doll. I don't know if it's from the Talking Tina episode with Telly Savalas, but he owns a prop from the original series and they wanted to borrow it. So he said, you can borrow it for free as long as you work my name into one of the episodes. So that's actually what they did. And so then he gets to be evil David Copperfield. So hopefully he appreciates it. Because it's funny because I didn't deeply research it, but I read an article right after I finished watching. And I had thought it was kind of weird that they said David Copperfield.
Right.
Basically, when we get to the late part of this episode, you know, we know about Candy Gower from the Gower Rower is there, and he's just going through that list, and you know he's sweating, and you're just like, this can't be good for anybody. What did you think watching that scene unfold?
That was a very sad moment for me watching that, because I feel like with our culture now and social media and our phones and accessibility, to me, I'm watching a person crumbling. So to see people laugh and laugh and laugh, it just makes me think, especially in comedy, when comedians get in trouble for saying something, but they, to them, it's comedy. So where do you draw the line? And to have so many people laughing, I feel like that's what's happening right now. We'll take something really tragic and make it a meme, and now it's funny. It's just weird. The polarity is weird for me.
Yeah, no, it's a very difficult balance because, look, there is humor that can be found in a lot of places where you know that it shouldn't be funny, but if you put it in the right way, you get it. But, I mean, this is just him listing off a bunch of people that he didn't like. And, you know, his girlfriend comes in and makes the point. I believe her name is Rena. I keep trying to find it, and it's not on the IMDb page for the episode. Rena. So I kept not saying her name, but I just feel like it's weird if I don't say I believe her name is Rena. And when she's just like, so I found your book, and that's the moment where I think it takes the ultimate Twilight Zone turn, where he's like, oh, you want me to do that material? You want me to go there? I'm like, wow, he's really going to talk about his girlfriend. And I think before he actually said it, I saw where it was going. But I don't think when she came in and like, all right, well, he's not going to talk about her. He's going to turn on himself. Was that a surprise for you at all? Or are you just smarter than I am, Raven? Which is fine. Most people are.
Nope. It was a surprise for me because, again, it's the Twilight Zone. You never really know. And as it, that's what I mean when I, as it progressed and he was talking about himself, it just became more and more self-deprecating and sad, and people are laughing harder and harder, and he had his little magic trick at the end. I guess that's what they thought it was. So no, I didn't think he was going to off himself.
Yeah, I think it's a great touch, and a lot of times in the Twilight Zone, that kind of ultimate sacrifice is not a self-sacrifice. Like the Twilight Zone, devil, god, demons, whatever the forces are at work, they usually decide for you. Mm-hmm. So he had his fate in his hand. He could have sold out his girlfriend. He could have ended up on this TV show. He could have gotten everything that he thought he wanted. But instead, as Jordan Peele says at the end, he chose once again to be a nobody. And then, of course, that was a show you can only buy a ticket for in the Twilight Zone. Now, I have a huge problem with the ending, though.
Okay.
Because it's great. You're like, Dee Dee's still alive. Oh, there's Rena with her nephew. Devin's still alive. In doing that, does that mean that all of those murderers and drunk drivers are also still alive? He had done some good work in the beginning of the episode. And we can be happy for, you know, Dee Dee's still with us. You know, so it's like, all right, so drunk driving Fat Joe, the comedian, is still alive too. Coach Keller with the terrible, you know. Yeah, exactly. With the awful scandal. I'm glad that the timing was where it was, so I didn't say molested children and then get a laugh check. See, there it was. Steve stopped himself. So I don't know. I mean, it didn't hit me right away, but as I was sitting here collecting my thoughts before we went on, I'm like, wait a minute. No, that ending is terrible. From a story writing standpoint, it's great. It's very interesting. It's very Twilight Zone. But for that world that they live in, it was like, no, he had made the world a better place. Then he got carried away and got crazy. Like, reset it to the point. And right. I mean, they don't really tell us because it's not like, oh, yeah, that guy Jamie who murdered his fiance. Well, he's there at the bar. But now that I've sort of rained on the parade, what do you think of the ending of the episode, Raven?
Yeah, I didn't think about that at all. And yes, you did.
Glad I ruined it for you.
Yeah. Oh, because I was happy to see. I was happy to see the little boy.
I was very
especially.
Happy that Devin was there and that she had him, and that Dee Dee was going to get her big chance.
Big chance indeed.
And then, of course, yeah, that J.C. Wheeler comes back and he's like, "So, how badly do you want it?" So, I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that is the payoff that makes you think, like, this guy really is the devil. And if you believe that Tracy Morgan was playing the devil – I almost said Tracy Morgan is the devil. He's too funny. There's no way Tracy Morgan's the devil.
No
way. That Tracy Morgan's playing the devil, well, exactly what he wanted was all the murderers to go free and have this one guy who's basically a good guy get rid of himself. That would be the sort of ultimate parable. The ultimate Faustian deal would be – keep all the bad people in the world and just get rid of one good person. That's a win for Team Devil. That's a win for Team J.C. Wheeler.
If there's a Team Devil, then I'm with that. I'm with that analogy.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. I know we have some people in the chat, but if you're watching the archive version, let us know your thoughts. We will read it next week. I thought that this was a good start to the series. Like I said, I felt like it was a very Twilight Zone episode, a very Twilight Zone story in the classic sense. But there are reviews out there that are, you know, that are praising our second episode.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about next Monday. Now, these two episodes are out. There won't be another new episode next week. We will do our show Monday night talking about Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which is with Adam Scott. And then there won't be another new episode until 2 weeks from Thursday. It's very confusing. So it's, I don't know, it's whenever that is, you know. It's the 11th, I think, is the next time there's an episode. So you have to keep track of when the next episode's going to be. But let's talk about Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which is an original episode of The Twilight Zone. I believe I told you, I did the research. If you have Netflix, you can watch that episode. And then, as I was saying to Raven, you can decide, do you want to watch the new episode first and then see how they did it? Or do you want to watch them chronologically? Now, if you choose to do that, you want season 5, episode 3, but you will also need to watch the Twilight Zone movie from, I believe, 1986, where John Lithgow plays the William Shatner part. So this is the third iteration of Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, but it is one of the most famous stories from the Twilight Zone. It is amongst my favorites. But we're also going to get a remake of another episode, which is the one with the devil bobblehead in the diner. That's another William Shatner episode. But we'll talk about that in a few weeks.
Why is this your favorite?
This is not my favorite.
Not
this
that,
is
one, but the...
Oh, that, no, that one's good. That one I think is actually a little better. My favorite is one that's called Time Enough at Last. And that I think is from season one. It's also a very famous episode, but it has the perfect Twilight Zone ending, which I will not spoil for anyone who hasn't seen a show from 55 years ago. But my wife is a television writer, and early on when we were dating, I was telling Raven this before we started, I was like, we have to watch this one because it just, for me, it was the first time I saw something, I'm like, wait, that's not a happy ending. That's the opposite. So it just perfectly encapsulates that. And, you know, that was that episode is what had me hooked. I'm like, oh, if I'm going to watch Twilight Zone. And look.
And this is what you made your now wife. I won't say made. It's not like he forced her.
I mean, I strongly encouraged her to watch that.
And he married her, so.
Well, you know, that was her mistake. This was the Twilight Zone that she married into.
Right.
You know, yeah. So, you know, I'm the DD in this reality. Yeah, so that is our next episode. It stars Adam Scott, who people know from a bunch of things, but, predominantly Parks and Recreation, I would say, is probably the biggest thing he was on. Not Hot Tub Time Machine 2, but he was in that too. And you don't know that story. So that's not what, you know, maybe you've seen it.
I watched a tad bit. Okay. Another.
Oh, of the this new version? Or
the new version.
Okay.
I didn't, well, now I know from you is which season to watch for the
old.
Yeah,
season 5, episode 3 is the original.
Go back and watch the old first.
Okay.
And then the new, which this is what I'm saying about this show. I'm another fear. Flying.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're really preying on all of your fears.
Yes. I need a show about ice cream or something. I don't know.
Now you've dealt with my fear, is not having enough ice cream. If I opened the freezer and I was like, hey, where's the ice cream? And everybody's like, ice cream? What's that? I would be like, oh, no, this is not a...
You're in the Twilight
Zone.
You won
Twilight Zone. I'm going to make myself not exist so that I don't want to live in this reality without ice cream. In any case... looking very much forward to doing this show, but also getting to see what they have in store. You know, there's an interesting trailer that shows you some of the people that'll be on in this season. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to be at the Paley Fest that was a joint panel between Star Trek Discovery and The Twilight Zone, both CBS All Access shows. And so I saw some of the cast, and they were really secretive about their episodes, but they talked about it in a way that made me very excited. And that's how I ended up here, because I was like, I really want to be able to talk about The Twilight Zone. It gave me an opportunity to get to meet Raven, and yes. We'll be back next Monday at 10 Pacific. Until then, though, Raven, where can people find you?
You can find me on all social media at Raven French, Raven with an I.
Yes, that is that's a little different because it's a slightly different spelling. And me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And I mentioned Star Trek Discovery because I also am one of the hosts of AfterBuzz's Star Trek Discovery After Show, which we do Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific. I've got two of the shows from CBS All Access. I might as well start watching The Good Fight so I can get a hat trick and, you know, cover all of it. In any case, thanks to everybody who was in the chat and everyone who is watching the show. Please leave your comments if you're watching after the fact.
Yes.
We will see you next Monday at 10 Pacific in the Twilight Zone. Until then, have a great one.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.